hey, you are wildly capable of great things. So take a deep breath, let it out. You've got this. I want to tell you guys today about Brandlink Media, a female-owned digital agency with years of experience working with businesses in Oklahoma and beyond on their branding, web design, email marketing, copywriting, and more. Remember, you are wildly capable of great things, and Brandlink Media is cheering you on. Visit www.brandlinkmedia.com to schedule a free consultation. Link in our show notes. It is my pleasure to introduce Mary Seams, founder and CEO of Source Brokers. Mary, tell us about a few defining moments of your life.
Great. This one is a fun question because I have had a couple of, like, I like to call in my life chapters. One of the first chapters, defining moments, is death. So my dad died when I was in first grade, and that really just kind of set the stage for a lot of the characteristics and things that make me who I am. I got to see my mom, who was a practicing physician at the time. She had three little kids, and just seeing her kind of overcome that really instilled within me a lot of perseverance and just respect for being able to make it through hard things, and that hard things just happen. And so that death and grief and just overcoming that really was a huge part of my life. And gave me also a great appreciation for just mental health awareness. And a lot of the work I've done since then, obviously first grade Mary wasn't aware of everything that was going on and how that would affect adult Mary. But it really gave me a lot of appreciation for mental health services, therapy, and being involved in some of the nonprofits like Calm Waters is something I'm really passionate about. They provide free grief support services for anybody. So that's one of the main chapters. Then another big one was, let's fast forward 20 years. And I went to med school. I was following in the footsteps of my mom, going to be a doctor. And then I had a quarter life crisis is what I like to call that chapter. I decided after completing 2 full years of med school, I was studying for my boards, that this was just not right for me. And I was having, again, thinking about mental health, that's always been kind of this pattern in my life, a lot of depression, anxiety, and just really had to make that decision that this is just not the right path for me. So quitting med school, having that quarter life crisis and trying to figure out what comes next was huge. And that kind of ties into just, I think another defining moment was deciding that at that point, I just need to figure out what really is me and what's not me. And so that has been probably the journey of the last 5-10 years of just deciding, like, what do I actually care about? What are my values? And then I think it's been awesome for me to feel like, okay, today I can stand here and know, like, this is what I want to do. And I'm content. I know what really matters in life, and chasing after a career that you don't love is not what matters.
Absolutely not. And I hope there's some young women listening to this, because I feel like that is such a pivotal moment. You really have a fork in the road, and it's up to you which way you go. So I think that choice was really strong and really brave. So tell us a little bit about what you do now with the Source Brokers.
Yes. So not a doctor, plot twist. The Source Brokers is a company that focuses on providing outsource admin services for real estate agents. So after I quit med school, I didn't really know what I was going to do, but I had a friend that I saw a job posting on Facebook, and I was like, well, I don't know. I guess I can do this. This feels pretty safe. And I became the executive assistant for her real estate team. And then just from there, really found that this was a sweet spot for me. And so I spent about 3 years in that company, and then started another business doing real estate photography. And now Source Brokers, we provide transaction coordination, database management, client care for realtors. So instead of them needing to hire a full-time assistant and take on that overhead, they contract us for flat fee. They only pay when we need us. And we work directly with the agents and then with their clients. And it's been super, super fun for me to get to do that and grow a business baby.
Wow. Yeah, that is such a like specific niche. I was going to ask you, like, how did you find that that was a need? So that makes complete sense, though. So what has it been like growing a business? And, you know, what have maybe what are some hurdles that you overcame in starting your business?
There have been so many. I don't think we have time to list them all. Like, honestly, every time I learn something new, I'm like, wow, never saw that coming. That was not, nobody told me that that was something I needed to plan for. So there's been, I mean, I think just figuring out also like what exactly our business model is. That's a huge one. You can try so many things. And then sometimes it feels like you put so much work into things and it like falls flat, or you're like, this is not worth it. This just, there's feels like there's friction. And so I think some of the biggest hurdles are just figuring out what do we offer and how do we want to offer it? Because I think the work environment right now shows us that you can literally turn anything into a business. So that was a big one, just figuring out like, is this the thing that we're going to do? And then we started at first offering some other services, and at a point in time, I realized like, this doesn't make financial sense. And yet I cared about the team members that we had. I cared about the clients, but I had to make the decision that this is no longer serving us and it's taking away from what we're really great at. And so a huge hurdle was having to decide to stop offering some services and to part ways from some of the team members that we were working with that I just really cared about. But at the end of the day, like, having to remember that a business is business and your friendships and your relationships can be totally separate, but it doesn't mean that you don't love them, you don't care. And I think as women, we oftentimes feel almost like responsible and beholden to take care of every single person in our lives. And yet, if you're building something that's kind of like not really serving you, you can't be a good leader. You can't grow this thing. And it's like, okay, well, this might work for next like 3-6 months, but after that, it's not going to work. So it's so much kinder to be clear about that up front and make those decisions and to be open and transparent about that. So that's been really difficult. And just, I think sometimes just finding people that you can talk and share about those hard things is also hard. Like, nobody else really does what I do. It is a very specific type of business. And so I think realizing that I can still ask questions from people. And I think I had to get over a lot of this fear of looking stupid or feeling like I should know these things. I mean, I studied biology and chemistry. I didn't study business. And so there were so many things that I'm like, should I know this already? Is this a dumb question? And so I think a huge hurdle was just realizing that, like, you know what? I can do is ask. And if I look stupid, oh, well, I didn't know it. And it's just going to be part of the journey of learning. And so I think that was huge. And just, I've been able to build so many awesome relationships because of that. And just not, who cares what people think, honestly. So.
Yes, that is like one of my biggest mantras, because, you know, it just really, really doesn't matter unless, you know, it's a client or something like that. But Rosie, my little sister Rosie, I'm always telling her this because she's younger. She's in that quarter life zone. So I'm always just like, really, like, you have to stop caring, even though like there's no recipe for that. Like, yep. There's no instruction manual to stop caring. You just have to like put it down. I so agree. So tell us about like when you're feeling like burnt out or exhausted from starting a business, where do you go for fresh inspiration and to kind of refill your cup?
Yes. So this is something that I actually battle a lot, because kind of also tying into like mental health, like I know that I go through this burnout cycle. That's just something. I'm an Enneagram type 3. So I'm like, work hard, hard, hard. Let's just go achieve. But the reality is sometimes you hit a wall and you like can't. You're like, okay, I don't even want to do anything. So I'm like, go from like all in to like, I am all out. I don't even want to do this anymore. So I've tried to really implement some practices to help with that. So keeping almost like boundaries in place, like, okay, I can only work X amount of hours per week. I also am a huge fan of scheduling. Like, I need alone time and I need like separation to be able to just even like think and use like a different type of brain. So about once a month, I try and do like a CEO day where I'll go to like a coffee shop or someplace that I just feel good in, and just not necessarily have a super structured kind of work, but just take some time to like, okay, if I had some ideas, let me just jot all of those ideas out. And do I want to execute on those? Probably not, but it allows me to just use a different kind of brain space. And then I also think just being in community with other women have been helpful in that way. And just asking them like, hey, what do you do when you're burnt out? Cause it doesn't like, sometimes it feels like the recipe that I had that worked, you know, a couple months ago, like stops working. And I'm like, I can't get out of this slump. Like, I don't know what to do. I'm like, I'm exercising, I'm eating well, I'm sleeping. And it's like, sometimes it's just like, okay, well, there has to be something else. And sometimes just having some really open and honest conversations with other women saying like, this sucks right now. Like, are you also feeling pretty irritable and burnt out? And like, the answer is most of the time, yes. Like, you're not alone in those feelings. And so I find that when I'm in those kind of burnout cycles, just even though it feels easier to want to kind of isolate and put some separation, just leaning in and having questions or just a go getting coffee with somebody always makes me feel so much more inspired and so much more just like ready to keep on going and remember like, okay, there's a purpose behind all of this and that my life is not all about work. It does not, like, my identity is not in what I do and I don't ever want it to be. And I would never want anybody else to feel like all that they were was their job title. And so I think going back and remembering those things and doing fun activities is a good way to kind of break that cycle and get me back on track.
Yeah, fun for adults is like so important. I feel like my husband and I had a conversation about that as well at a certain point, like fun separate from drinking, which is great and fun also, but like, you know, just doing something that like makes you happy kind of, that's so important. Well, tell us about, you know, your future. What do you see when you look at your future?
Honestly, okay. So future thinking is something I love to do, but it's so hard because I feel like there are so many futures I could see. And that is something, and I think part of it is because I was so committed to one career. I was so committed my entire, literally 26 years of my life, I was focused on one future, one thing. And then I realized like you can let go of that thing if it's what's right for you. And so I think for my future, my hope is that it looks like some stability in careers. Like, let's get the source brokers running and keep doing that. Like, I don't want to quit something. I want to keep going, but I would love to have the opportunity to keep building in other like business spaces. Like, I think, you know, I have been an entrepreneur my whole life. Like, looking back, she was moving and I was like finding all of these things. And I'm like, oh my gosh, why did we not see the writing on the wall? Why did I go to med school? Like, I had a cake business in high school and college and just all these things. So I think when I look to the future, I know that there's going to be other business opportunities. And being involved in the community is something that I know that that's going to be a big part of it. I mentioned Calm Waters and grief support and just talking about mental health services. Like, that is something that will always be a part of my life. So I'm super excited about that. And just continuing to like be present, learning more and more, like to just enjoy the present moment. I have two dogs. So like going on walks with them, like just those little things I think are more important to me now at 30 to say like, okay, that's what really matters for my future. What do I want my day-to-day to look like? How do I want to feel when I wake up? And how can I design my work life to allow for that? And so that's pretty much what I hope my future looks like. And just being able to say yes to opportunities when they come my way, when it feels aligned with what I really desire for my life.
Amazing. And up to date, what is your proudest moment?
Um, I think that my proudest moment really is quitting med school. Like, that is something that it is just looking back, I'm like, I could see like a lot of my best friends are still like, they continued on that path. Obviously, they're doctors now. And I think I could have had that life. I could have been, you know, my day to day would be seeing patients now. Like, and there are so many parts of that that I value and cherish, but that's just wasn't for me. And so I think having the bravery and the guts, and I guess, I don't know, somehow blind courage to just say, like, I don't know what I'm going to do next, but I know that this is not for me. And being willing to listen to that and figure it out. So I feel really proud of myself for being willing to do that and knowing that, like, I would be okay no matter what happens. And that's just like something I know now, like that has been something I have that moment. And I know that I've done that before. So there's literally nothing that I can anticipate coming my way that I won't be able to overcome.
100 Magazine is a publication featuring 100 wildly capable women in Oklahoma City. Buy the magazine to read all 100 interviews at 100mag.com. Wildly Capable Woman podcast is produced by Sugar Free Media. You can check out our daily news podcast, News Du Jour, for a calmer space to consume the news. Music is by Joey Lavoie and Nicholas Foster. Please consider rating and reviewing this podcast if it meant something to you to help us reach other wildly capable women.